Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. We are grateful to be in your home today, worshiping the Lord together. We hope you will invite your family, friends, and neighbors to view this timeless program with you. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the glorious gospel across the globe and into the hearts of everyone. We are pleased to read your letters and respond with resources to help and encourage you. From Oregon, we heard, "Thank you for all you do. We watch CWH when we can't make it to our church." My husband and I have grown up watching Pastor Salem over the years. May God continue to bless your ministry. Today, Dad speaks to the promise in Romans 8:28 in his message, "All things work together for good." God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we have a sermon today that I know you're going to love, and it's going to help you. It's about all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. So maybe if you have a friend that's a little bit down or a little bit lonely, maybe you lost a loved one, you call them and tell them, tune us in. And they're going to get a blessing as we sing and as we preach about the wonderful love of God and how He works everything out for good. We're reading from Psalm 103 today. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. And as for man, his days are grass, their flower like the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto His children's children." Heavenly Father, we thank You that You're such a great God. And though You have all power and might and can do anything You want to do, You are mindful of Your children wherever they might be, any place in this wide world. You are with those who love You and trust You. And so we pray in our service today that we'll be able to help others and that we'll lean upon that wonderful love and caring of Jesus. Thank You in the Savior's name. Amen. And Barb's going to sing for us a song, "Someone to Care." And God bless you, Barb.
When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. When you've tears in your eyes, your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other. Down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. You're His child, and He cares for you. When your disappointments come, there is someone who cares for you. When you need a friend till the end, there is someone who's a friend to you. Someone to care, someone share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child and he cares for you. Brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you.
Well, thank you, Barb. Isn't that a wonderful song? Aren't those wonderful words? And they're all from the Bible. Someone who cares, and that someone is God. And he cares for you through the dear Lord Jesus. And he says he would never leave us or forsake us. And maybe you're having some troubles today and some trials. And we can always go to Jesus, and he's always there. And we're going to look at Romans 8:28 in just a few minutes. First, I want to read some of the letters. But it tells us that God cares for us, and he cares for you, and he loves you. And maybe you're a young person, and you have a broken love affair. Maybe something's happened to you. Maybe there's trouble in the home. Or maybe you're the children and you have some trials, as children have problems too. And Jesus is there for you because he loves you. Loves you so much he died for you, was raised from the grave. Well, we want to thank you for your letters. We read every one. And if it's have a spiritual question, we try to answer that for you. And so I want to share some of them with you. The first one today is from Chatsworth, Illinois. And this person writes and says, my husband and I watch your show every Sunday that we can. We did not leave the house due to weather, and so we watched your service. We liked your sermon June 2017. And then she goes on and says, we lost our home by fire. We got our home cleaned up, and then my husband became sick. The doctor told him he had lung cancer, and in October 2017, when he couldn't go to church, we'd watch your service. We watched your show until the Sunday of the 6th. He died May 11th. I'm sending this letter to tell you how much my husband liked your show, Your Friend in Christ. And that just blesses our heart because we have that wonderful message that God loves you and God cares. And it's a great joy for us to think that we can minister to you and to help you in your hard times. And it all goes back to the scripture. It all goes back to the Bible. What does God say? And I just was looking at a verse here, Isaiah chapter 46 and the 4th verse. This is what God says to those in old age. He says, even unto your old age, I am he, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made you, I will bear you. Even I will deliver you. And so, you know, we read about God, Jesus carrying the little lambs. Well, here God is carrying, Jesus carrying the old gray heads. And no matter where we are in life, he loves us and cares for us. And will never leave us or forsake us. What a wonderful Savior. Then let's see, Piney Flats, Indiana. Thank you, Pastor Salem, for saying you're just waiting for transportation to take you home. I told my sister-in-law what you said. She and I have been praying to go hand in hand to see Jesus and now praying for our chariot to take us home. What a day that will be, that will be whenever it is, in his love. P.S. I'm 90 years old and ready to go home. Well, you know, these sisters, maybe they will go hand in hand if it's at the rapture. You know, Jesus, God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, all of those who have died in Jesus, be raised first, and the rest of us be caught up together. And maybe you and your sister go together to heaven. Who knows? But you're going to get there if you have Jesus. You have Jesus in your heart. You'll get there, and you'll be together forever. Bismarck, North Dakota. Oh, yes. Now, here's a letter. This is from a gentleman. And he writes, "The Holy Trinity is a false doctrine not found in the Bible. Therefore, just stop preaching this subject. Now we know Jesus is not God." He capitalized it. "We know Jesus is not God. He was created through him. Everything else was created, including the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord, but he is not God. The Jews know there is only one God, not three, nor three in one. If this is not true, God would have told Abraham. God cannot lie. Therefore, stop preaching Jesus as God." Sincere, and then he says, closes, "sincerely with godly patience, and because I love you and God loves you." And he sent a sizable gift. And I love him. We just got some different ideas here, that's all. And I thought that is really nice. He sent a gift, and he says that I love you in spite of your ignorance, and you don't know what you're doing. And I just love this brother. And I just want to call his attention to a couple of things. He says that the Holy Trinity is not found in the Bible, so therefore it isn't true. Well, the rapture isn't found in the Bible either, and it's true. And the church wasn't found in the Old Testament, and it's true, so that doesn't hold water at all. St. Paul's benediction in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." There you have the Holy Trinity, the Lord, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You have it again in 1 John 5, verse 7. He says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit." And so the Trinity is a scriptural truth, a wonderful truth, and you need to accept it and believe it. And then he says, Jesus is not God. And so I got a couple of verses for you there. If you'd look up the Gospel of John chapter 1 and the opening verses. "In the beginning was the Word," that's talking about Jesus, Logos. "In the beginning was Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things," that's including Jesus and the Holy Spirit, "all things were created by him," Jesus, "and without him, not anything was made that was made." And one other verse I put down, Colossians 1, verses 15 to 17. "Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and by him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." That is, by Jesus Christ, he created all of creation, and by him all things consist. That is, he holds them in the planets in their order and keeps the church and keeps the earth in its orbit. So you better look at those verses again, dear brother, because you need Jesus as a Son of God. He claimed to be the Son of God. That's why they crucified him eventually. The Jews, the Pharisees, and couldn't stand it when he said he claimed to be God, and he was crucified. And he wasn't crucified by the Jews. He was crucified by the Romans. So keep the record straight. And when you get right down to it, you and I were at the crucifixion too, because our sins were putting him there. So the whole world is wrapped up in the death of Jesus Christ. And the glorious resurrection that came from God. Let's see, what is this? Bennington, Nebraska. "I am so excited about your film, Heart of a Shepherd. I think my family will enjoy it. I have no idea how much to pay, but hope this check for $40 will be sufficient. If not, bill me. I get up every Sunday morning and listen to the service at 7:30 on Fox Channel. I listen to his service before going to church. I've really gotten my Christian education from listening to your service. I'm 97. April 3rd, 2018. So don't get out too much." Well, now that's wonderful. We're both 97. That's meaning we're smarter than most people because we're older than most people. I guess it works. I'm not sure it works that way. But it's great being 97. Just wonderful. Here's one from Florence, Italy. Greetings. God bless you. Watching you on Daystar. Rodriguez de Marino. And so we love to hear from people from, we just got a nice gift from Norway, too, this last week. Love to hear from the International Church, the body of Christ. We pray for you folks all the time, and you pray for us. And someday we're all going to be together. And won't that be a glorious time? Plant City, Florida. I pray for all the glory to be given to God for your faithfulness to Him all these years. You have brought so much joy to my life. And we can bring you joy because we bring you the gospel, we bring you the word of God. And that's where the joy is. You know, Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah. We, the kids, have a joke. They says, who is the shortest man in the Bible? Nehemiah. But that isn't the one. There's a shorter one than that. Then you go to the book of Job and you read about Bildad, the Shuhite. So he was shorter than Nehemiah. So I don't know. That maybe help with the offering, loosen you up a little bit. I don't know. Here's Traverse City, Michigan. I'm a 95-year-old widow who doesn't drive anymore. And I laughed when I saw that because I'm 97 and I'm still driving. But I'm driving, I hold my breath. I'm going to tell you, if I sneeze, they'll take my license from me. I have more patrolmen watching me with my driving. And am I ever careful? Well, they took her license away from her, God bless her, 95 and so well. But that's not the end of life. She says, I can't drive anymore. I wanted to tell you how much I enjoy watching your program because I can't go to church anymore. I look forward to your message every Sunday morning and how you preach right from the Bible. And your heart is such a friendly way. I feel I'm right there with you. You're such a wonderful blessing to me. God bless you. And may God keep you in his care. And so this is a good message for the pastors. Preach the word. Preach the wonderful word of God. Because there you can bring joy, you can bring hope, you can bring healing, you can bring salvation. And I'll tell you something else. If you preach the Bible, you can preach with authority. Thus saith the Lord. Preach the word. One more, let me see here. Oh, yes, this is from a little girl, and she's 10 or 11 years old, Livia. And she's written to me for 2-3 years now. She sends her tithe to help with the Christian Worship Hour. And she sent this, and she says, can you send me one more Heart of a Shepherd DVD for my grandma and grandpa? My grandpa watches you every Sunday. Please pray for him. He doesn't feel the greatest. So here's a little granddaughter praying for her grandpa. And don't you tell me that God won't hear a little child praying. He just doesn't have the heart to turn a little child down. And I think a child's prayer has got more power in it than anything. Maybe a mother's prayer, I don't know. But God listens to the little children. He won't let them down if there's any possible way to work it into his will. But his will has to be done. So thank you for the letters. We appreciate every one of you writing. And we hope that the more of you will write to us. And just write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send a gift over the airways or over the internet, you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can see our website there, and you can see we got our sermons and devotions. We got pictures of the team. And, oh, God, that's the most wonderful thing you ever saw, that website, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's a place on there that says donate. And then you just punch that donate and you put down there whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And then you just send it to us and we'll get it in United States currency and we'll pay our bills. And we have to pay our bills just like anybody else. So I hope that you'll help us out that way. And I want to tell you about our film. And it's a Heart of a Shepherd, the Heart of a Shepherd. And emphasis is on coming to Jesus. As a kind of a film that even the children can watch and listen to and understand. And we've had people watch that film, and at the close of the film, they pray that Jesus will come into their heart and they're born again. And so if you want a copy of this, you just write to us and or get it on the internet and just tell them you want the film on the shepherd. And you can, and we send it free, and we send it postpaid. And we'll, of course, if you can send in a love offering, that's fine. If you can't, that's all right, too. And some of you don't have the money. And I know we have people in prison, and some of them have ways they can play these films. And so we are glad to send them free and postpaid. And you say, well, how can you do that if they don't send you any money? How can you keep doing that? Well, we'll keep doing that or we go broke. But we won't go broke because God. This is God's work. And what he'll do is he'll get some other people and they'll say, you know, I ought to help with some of that postage. So I'm going to send a gift and boy, we'll make money. Sending out all that free stuff, we'll make money on that. You just can't believe how God works. So, but you have to help us, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. I'm giving it again for all of you folks on the internet and also our people that are in our short wave. Christian Worship Hour, 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And one other thing I want to say about the gifts. I know some of you are saying, well, what if we send a lot of money and they squander it? He looks like he might be a big spender. And what if he uses that money to spend on himself? Well, we are audited by an organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They're an international organization. They go through our books. It'll just drive you crazy. They get into everything, every crook and corner. And it proves that we receipt every penny we get, and we spend everything according to our budget, every penny. And it's all above board, and we're very proud of it. And we'd be glad to send you a report of that organization if you want it. So you help us. So now Jan's going to play, and I'm going to pray, and then you give as the Lord lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just praying today that you'll speak to the hearts of your people and supply our needs. We just know you will, and we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Jan. God bless you, and always so faithful, and help us in this wonderful ministry. Appreciate that. We're reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 34. And so if you have your Bibles, and I know that some of you do, you get all dressed up before you're going to church, and you're sitting there, and you got your Bibles, and you read along with us, then I'm so happy about that. And then I get a letter, and somebody says, I sit here and I have a cup of coffee. And the other day I went to sleep and spilled coffee on myself. I said, good for you. But whatever you're doing, you're going to look at Romans 8, chapter 8. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So we're going to pray now, and in our prayer today, We're going to pray for the church, the persecuted church in Malaysia. We always pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters somewhere in the world, and today it's Malaysia. So, dear Lord, we want to thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that the heaven and earth will pass away. There's going to come a time, Peter says, when with fervent heat, all of creation is going to vanish and there'll be the new Jerusalem. But the word of the Lord, the word of God, will abide forever. And long after this world is gone and the stars in the sky are gone, that word of the Lord will be there. So we thank you that we have such a wonderful foundation and that we can say that when we look at this, this is what God says, that the Lord is speaking, and we can rely upon that word entirely. We thank you for this great promise that all things work together for good. And we're just thinking especially, dear Lord, about people that are having some trials and troubles today. Maybe somebody just lost a loved one, took them to heaven. Now they're gone. Maybe somebody's having trouble in the home. Maybe the children. No idea of knowing what it is. But you know all about it, and you're there. And help them to know when they put their faith in you, when they have you as their personal Savior, that all of the things work together for good. We may not see it right now, but it's there. Your hand is upon it, and you're in charge of all things. And then, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Malaysia, and just help them to know that we're conscious of their needs and that we have them on our hearts. And help them to know that because they stand so strong for you, it helps us to stand strong. In America here, we don't have those terrible problems and trials. And so when we see how these brothers and sisters in different parts of the world stand true even unto death, it helps us to stand true for you. And it helps us to give more and to serve better and to believe more. And so we thank you for them. And help them to know, Lord, that they'll wear that martyr's crown someday. And so I know, Lord, you're with them. You're right there with them, close to them, and you'll help them through whatever the troubles or trials might be. And we want to pray for the children of the Lord, as some of their parents are gone, homes are broken up, and homes are destroyed. So be with those left behind and help them to lean on you and help us all to lean on you and help us, dear Lord, to believe your word that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now before the message, Hank's going to sing a song, Jesus is Real to Me, and God bless you, Hank.
Some people say the Bible isn't true, that it's only for the simple and the weak. All that I know, I'm a different man today, all because of what Jesus did for me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real to me. Jesus is real in my heart, I can feel. I know what happened to me. He's more than religion. He's more than tradition. He's more than a man of history. Jesus is real to me. Some people trust in religion. Some people trust in themselves. But I'm here to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, there's only one who can help. Jesus is real. Jesus is real to me. Jesus is real in my heart, I can feel. I know what happened to me. He's more than religion. He's more than tradition. He's more than a man of history. Jesus is real to me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real to me. Jesus is real in my heart, I can feel. I know what happened to me. He's more than religion. He's more than tradition. He's more than a man of history. Jesus is real to thee. He's more than religion. He's more than tradition. He's more than a man of history. Jesus is real to thee.
Well, thank you, Hank. God bless you. Good old faithful Hank's been with us since day one and singing for the Lord, and Jesus is real. You know, when you accept Jesus, you may have wonderful feelings and just be so thrilled, and then again, you may not have any feeling at all. I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. That's 87 years ago. And I remember I was just like making a contract with him. He said, if you will confess your sins, promise to forsake your sins, and ask me to come into your heart, I'll come into your heart, and I'll wash away your sins. And I'll be with you all the way till you get in through those pearly gates, and I'll be with you all the way to heaven. And you may have feelings, and you may not, when you accept Jesus. But as time goes on, as you read that Bible, as you walk with the Lord, he becomes more real all the time. And after all those years, I can say, I still don't get good. I don't have any special, you know, God hasn't talked to me. I wish he'd just talk out of the sky and tell me something, and I could brag about that. God talked to me, and he told me some things, but no, I know he just speaks to your heart. And you'll say, well, now what should I be doing about this? And you just pray about it, and you look into his word, and he'll guide you, and he'll direct you. This will feel right. This doesn't feel right. Maybe you can't even say why you don't think it's right. But God's Holy Spirit's saying, he's got the red flag up and says, there's just something not right here. I got to have peace with the Lord. See, you may not hear a voice, but as you go along with the Lord, he becomes more real all the time, and he'll bless and he'll help you. And one thing that he's told us that I preach about every 4 or 5 years, and that's that wonderful scripture in Romans 8:28, where the Bible says, where God says, we know, Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So I want to look at that verse for just a few minutes today, at this wonderful scripture, Romans 8:28. And I want to start out by saying that, and I want to make it as clear as I can, this promise is not for everyone. This promise is not for everyone. God is not talking to the whole world in this verse. There is a qualifying statement here. You see that all through the Bible. Some scriptures are given for everyone, and some scriptures are given only for believers. Let me illustrate. There's a scripture in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. It says, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, that's a verse for the whole wide world. He is not willing that any should perish. He wants you to come to Jesus. And when we talk about perish, I remember I preached this sermon one time, and a guy says, well, I'm not going to perish. I'm not drowning. And I thought, you dumb dodo. You don't even know what it's all about. When we talk about perish, we're talking about that eternal soul. And Jesus said that soul is the most important thing you have. And he says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He says, if a man loses his soul, how can he get it back again? What can you get to get it back again? And what Jesus is teaching is you can't get it back. There's no way you can get it back. Only Jesus can redeem that soul. And so when we sin, it means that we're on the world, we perish. We're going to perish in hell unless we come to Jesus. And that's what he's talking here. He's willing that not willing that any should perish. Here's another one that he gives to the whole wide world. Romans 10, verse 13. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's for everybody in the world. Now there's some that get off into this election business. But God is telling you about as plain as you can write it. I don't know how you'd write it any plainer. And that is, he is not willing that any should perish. and whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So God tells us that many, in these scriptures, is sometimes for the unsaved, sometimes for the saved. For instance, there's a scripture for believers only. Look, for instance, at Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, you can't say that I shall not want unless you have Jesus. You have to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. You can say, the Lord is a shepherd, and it doesn't mean a thing. But you have to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, how do I have him as my shepherd? I take him as my shepherd. He stands at my heart's door. He wants to come into my heart. I ask him into my heart, and he comes in, and he cleanses him of all sin, and he dwells within my heart. And so unless you're a believer, this verse isn't going to mean a thing to you. And if the Lord is not your shepherd, you're not going to have all the things that you need. You're going to have troubles and trials, and the main thing is you're going to lose that precious, eternal soul. So put your faith in Jesus. And that's what we could go over and over. And even a child can do it. You just simply say, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and to take away my sins, and I'll turn from my sins. Jesus taught repentance. He doesn't say that you just accept Jesus and go living your own wicked way. You turn from your sins. Repentance means a turning. You make a turning. Jesus taught repentance. The apostles taught repentance. And so we just say, Dear Jesus, I ask you to come to my heart, and I'll turn from my sins the best I can. Now, that means you're going to be perfect. You're never going to be perfect to get to glory. But when you get to glory, God then will be perfect like the Lord. But we strive for perfection. We strive to be like Jesus. And when we fail, when we fall down, we ask him to forgive us. And he tells us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you say, yeah, but I did that. And I asked him to forgive me. And then I sinned against. How will he forgive me another time? How many times will he forgive me anytime? Well, I'm going to tell you something. He'll give you, say, maybe 10,000 times. You know what he says? He says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace of God is greater than all of our sins. And so when we sin, and we're going to sin, and our thoughts and our deeds, here's a parking place, and you zip in front ahead of somebody else, and you frustrate them at no end. That's a sin. But Jesus said even you have thoughts that are wrong, envy and jealousy and all of the rest of those things. And so we go to the cleansing to the Jesus. We ask him to forgive us. And then when we fail, we ask him to forgive us again. And so this wonderful scripture about all things working together for good, that's only for the Christian, and for the believer. And everybody can believe. I was 10 years old when I accepted the Lord. I have a daughter, Patty, accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old, and she's a grandma now, and she's walking with the Lord. So these people come around and say, a child can't accept the Lord. They don't know what they're talking about. That comes from the devil, doesn't come from Jesus. And I can tell you, if a child can love his mother, he can love Jesus too, can't he? You bet. And so this is, just be sure that you know Jesus. And now we look at that verse. He says, we know that all things work together. He says, we know. How do we know? How do we know? We know because God says so. Remember what Jesus said? Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. In other words, you can count on it. It is eternal. And when God says it, you can count on it. That's how we know. It's a know-so faith. And then we go on and says, to them that love God. All kinds of things happen to all kinds of people. And God makes the sun to shine on the good and the evil. And God makes the rain to descend on the good and the evil, the just and the unjust. And the same rain that causes one house to fall down has no effect on the other house. The same thing happens in life. Bitterness can bring us to God, or bitterness can make us drive us away from God. It can make a way away, or it can make us more submissive and come back to him and lean on him. What is the difference? that one has, and that simply means that one has no interest or love for God, and the other loves and trusts God. And that makes all the difference. Look at Paul. Look at how he suffered. He tells us some of his, spells out some of his trials. He says he hungered, and he had thirst, and loneliness, and sickness, and prison, and robberies, and scourging, and shipwrecks. And yet, in spite of all of that, Paul has never had a bitter word to say about God. He trusted God. He believed in God. He accepted the troubles and trials and hardships of life because he loves God and he trusts God. That's the key. He accepts all of these things because he knows in his heart these things are all working together for good. And how can these troubles and trials bring about such a sweet acceptance of the apostle? Many have become bitter, and I've worked with those people who become bitter. I remember one woman, and I think she died that way. She says, I will never go back to church. I'm done with God. And she was mad at God because of the depression. I'm a child of the depression, the 30s. And it was a terrible drought. And they set heat records in the 30s that haven't been broken yet. It was terrible all summer long. And they lost their farm. And she says, we farmed our farm. And we gave our tithe. And we lost our farm. And I'm done with God. See, she was bitter. But when we lost our farm, my mother said, I don't understand why, but God is God. And so the same thing, the same knife that makes poison ivy worse will make an apple tree better. It isn't the knife, it's the tree, it's the person. And that's the way it is. The secret lies in this, not in the difficulties of life, but in the person, the individual, you and me. If there is no faith and love to God, there's going to come bitterness just as sure as the world. If there's love and trust in God, sweetness will come and will result in the fruit of loving God and submitting to God. It all depends on the individuals, not the circumstances of life, not the things that are happening around us, good or bad. But it is the individual. I am the one to decide whether I'm going to be bitter or I'm going to submit, whether I'm going to love God or hate God. I make that decision. You don't make it for me. God doesn't make it for me. I make my own decision, and it depends on my own heart. And so the circumstances of life may be hard. For instance, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12, verse 11, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it abideth, yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. There you have it, the chastening, the troubles and trials of life. Afterward, it yields something. And to those who love the Lord, it yields submission and fruit and joy and a witness and a servant for God. On the other hand, though some of those other results afterwards, then they have all those hard things. And so God says that you just trust him, because it says he chasteneth every child he receiveth. And that's why I'm thankful when the troubles and trials are coming, because I know he loves me and he's training me and teaching me. My mother is the one that disciplined my life, and I thank God for her 1,000 times over, how she taught and led and directed. And I know if it wouldn't have been for, we had hired men that drank beer and liquor all the time. Every Saturday night they were drunk. And my mother was so against that, and I never touched it. And if I would have got into that, God only knows where I'd have been, probably in a drunkard's grave. So I'm thankful for the chastening of my mother, and I'm thankful for the chastening of God. And God says, you're going to see afterwards. It says, afterwards we see the results. Well, afterwards, when is that? In the life to come, when we get to heaven. We may not see the results of this chastening now, but the hard things of life, it's going to show in heaven, and we're going to see we can rejoice and be glad because the wonderful Lord, we're going to learn when we get to heaven that we can just know that the God had a reason for them. So when the troubles and trials in life come to you, don't try to get out of them. Don't try to squirm out of them. Accept them as from God. And so often we don't want hardship. We always want the sun to shine. We always want the bumper crops. We always want the high sky high stock market. We always want to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. But when we pray, we need to pray for God's will to be done. Some come sunshine or rain, we want God's will to be done. But all too many times we pray just for ourselves, and we have our own mind made up, and we have our own plan made up. We're like the couple, and they've been married for about 50 years, and they fought all those 50 years. They just had a terrible, terrible time. And one day his wife said, John, we've just been fighting all these years. Let's just pray. Let's pray that God will take one of us home, and then I'll go and live with my sister. You see, we have that all planned out, and we're telling God, and we're answering what we want when we want to come to God. When we come to God and the troubles and trials come on, we say, Thy will be done. Every prayer we ought to say, Thy will be done. I'm talking to a person now that's on hospice, and you have to pray, Thy will be done. But the healthy, wealthy, and the wise need to pray the same thing. Jesus taught us that. Thy will be done. So we give ourselves to the Lord. And when we come, you can just see how that always came through in this Bible. At the very dawn of human history, you see Job. And he is the most godly man that lived. We know that. The neighbor said that. But God said that. The most righteous man alive. And you know his troubles and trials. And what did Job declare at the dawn of human history? He says, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 1:21. And that's how we ought to live, dear friends. When the Lord gives, we ought to bless his name. And when the Lord takes, we ought to bless his name. That's what Paul said when he declared, to them that love God, they are loving and they're trusting God. And it makes all the difference in the world because this wonderful God is working in our life and he's leading us and guiding us, and we want his will to be done. And it says all things, not some things, but everything, all the things that happen in our life are for a purpose and a reason. The good things and the bitter, hard things of life, God is using them to work out his perfect plan. And he has a plan for you, and he has a plan for me, and every believer, he has a plan for you, a special plan. And so the next time something happens, you just say, oh, dear God, I thank you because that's your plan. That's your purpose. That's what you have in mind. And I'm having these troubles now, and these adversities and all of the rest, I thank you for them. And I trust you and I love you. And they notice what it says. All of these things, the good and the bad, work together for good. They work together. The most important word in this whole verse is this word together. It's not one event and then another and another. It is one thing, that thing, and then what? It's everything that comes into our life. Not just one thing here and one thing there, but everything in our life, everything that happens, it is for our good. All the happenings of life must run their full course until we see how they work together. We're not going to see them the next day. They maybe have to wait to eternity to see them. But we know, we cannot know how all these things are going to play out. But with the Lord, this wonderful God, we do know that this wonderful God is watching over us. And what did Jesus say? In that day, ye shall ask me nothing. And you'll say, and somebody says, I think that the most people are going to be saying when they get to heaven, oh, now I understand. We won't understand till we get there. There's no for us to, so it's for us to trust. And how this is, yeah, this wonderful Lord, that's the way it is with the story of the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, it looked like a terrible defeat. It looked like Satan had won the whole battle, and Jesus is dead on that cross, and he's buried in that grave, and Peter says, I go a-fishing. That is, that was his profession. I'm going back to my old life. I thought that Jesus was the Messiah. I thought I'm going to rule and reign with him, but he's gone now. He's dead now, and he didn't have hope. He didn't have hope. When you don't have hope, you're done for. You're on your way out. And so that Jesus looked like it was a terrible, terrible thing that happened, a terrible disaster, but it's the most glorious thing that ever happened, because on that old rugged cross, when he shed his blood for our sins, was raised from the grave, it meant that I could get to heaven. And if it weren't for that old rugged cross, I'd spend eternity in hell, and so would you. So when you looked at that Jesus, just count on him. And just wait for it to happen. It may not happen right now. It may seem like he's on the cross right now in your life, and nothing is right, but you just wait. There'll be another, what did they say? There all 3 days. And then came Friday, resurrection, for a good Friday. And then what came Sunday? The resurrection. So trust Jesus, lean on him. What were you going to do then, I'm going to say? What will you do with these verses? How are you going to handle them? What are you going to do with them? Well, you can take them and find comfort and peace. Maybe you're having trouble today. Maybe you're facing conditions over which you have no control. And so I'm going to ask you, are you going to exercise faith? And are you going to believe God and trust God? Will you love God no matter what comes? If it is our duty to accept what God sends our way, if we accept things that God sends us, we'll find peace. If we struggle against them, we're going to be batting our head against the wall. And that's what St. Paul is telling us in this verse. All things work together for good to them that love God. You have to love God. You have to trust God, or this verse will never work for you. But if you're all put in that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, you can lean on him and find help in him. Some people, when they come to these times, they just say, well, I don't understand why God's doing this. I'm all done. You can do that. But let me ask you this, friends, if you're considering that. Do not give up something you know for something you don't know. Don't give up something for something. Don't give up what you know for something you don't know. You don't know some things. Don't give up what you know for what you don't know. So you say, well, what do we know? Well, we know that God loves us. We know that God does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. We know that God is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We know that God, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. We know that God is in charge of the affairs of life, and nothing happens that he doesn't allow. We know that he will never leave us or forsake us. We know that he is with us unto the end of the age. We know he never slumbers nor sleeps, but his eye is always open to us. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. We know that like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. What do we know? You're going to give up everything you know for something you don't know? So maybe today, you're going through these troubles and trials, and those things are given to us. We know that heaven and earth will pass away. His word will never pass away. We know his word is forever settled in heaven. And so you need to put your faith in Jesus. And you say, I don't know how to put my faith in Jesus. What do I do? And you simply do this. You just go to Jesus. In your own words, you say, Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And Jesus knows it, but he wants you to admit it. I've sinned against you, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll forsake my sins. You remember he told the woman, go and sin no more. And so I'm going to live for you the best I can, and thank you, Jesus. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. We'll send you some literature. Anywhere in the world, we'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And don't forget to send a gift because, as James said, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people you have a need, They'll figure you don't need anything. But we have a need. We have to pay our bills just like anybody else. And then we're just glad to do that. And so you need to send a gift to help us. And you can send it on the internet. You can send it on PayPal. You can send it through the mail any way you want. And if you want to have this film on the shepherd, just put shepherd. If you want to have our little Bible study called The New Song, just put New Song. We'll send that. And we'd be glad to send it to you. So now let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the multitudes of people all over the world that are calling on the name of the Lord, and they're being saved. And they're being saved for eternity, and we're going to see them in heaven. Just pray for them. Lord, we pray for those on the beds of sickness, those who are shut in. We pray for the young people facing great temptations and troubles. We're praying for the children, the precious little children that never hurt a soul in their life. And they're having troubles. Maybe their folks are fighting or something. And it'll just touch their tender hearts. Help them put their faith in you. Dear Jesus, in everything may you be honored and glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you all for joining us today. We thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your letters. Thank you for your prayers. And you pray for us as we pray for you. And then as we work with the Lord, we'll rejoice someday when we meet the Lord together. And all over the world, help us to know that we're the body of Christ when we accept Jesus. And the Holy Spirit indwells every one of us. And we're all sealed by the Holy Spirit until that day of redemption when we walk through the pearly gates and walk on that golden streets that is transparent gold. And we'll see Jesus face to face and all of our loved ones. Thank you for the hope we have in Jesus. Thank you that all things really do work together for good to those who love the Lord. And so now, dear Lord, we pray you'll bless everyone. Help them know that you love them and the Christian Worship Hour loves them. And I sure love them. And so God bless them. See them next week.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.